Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys on the phone lines as we're getting closer now to an incredible football weekend. The Eagles and the Packers, 425 on Sunday. They practiced today. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia fellas. Taking all the fellas now. Make sure you go to all your doctor's appointments, man, and do everything that you have to do to keep yourself healthy. Because, you know, a lot of times, as men, we don't like going to the doctor.
Yeah, try to avoid that doctor.
Yeah, try to avoid the doctor, man. But make sure you go do all the things that you need to do to stay healthy.
Check all those boxes?
Yeah, check all those
boxes. Get those boxes checked. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. And Hugh, I think we need to have a discussion here before the playoffs start about something that we've been discussing really in earnest for about 2 years now. And that is Nick Sirianni, the head coach of this football team. And really where he stands with everyone, where he stands with the franchise. And it's not lost on me what the team has accomplished since he got here, right? They've won 50 games the last 4 years. He just won his 50th. They won 14 this regular season. He's got two 14-win seasons. He's been to a Super Bowl. I recognize the Eagles have had a ton of success with Nick Sirianni as their head coach. But, Hugh, as we enter the playoffs, and there's a lot of expectations what the Eagles should do, and I think they should, without question, win this game on Sunday. I'm going to predict them to win. I expect them to win. And 14-win seasons and a team this good, these opportunities don't come around every day.
And you got to seize the moment, man.
You have to seize the moment. And here's the way I view Sirianni. He's probably better than I've given him credit for over the years. But I'm not at the point yet, until the postseason, which is now, happens, where his job is secure long-term for me. And I'll just put it very simply. He has to have postseason success. Otherwise, I have no interest in extending his contract. And I'm not even sure I want him here. I'll be honest. I know he's had a good run. But I'm thinking about this from the perspective of he's got the best talent in the league. I need this team to make a run to the Super Bowl and capitalize here. And then I saw this last week, and it just made me think. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put this out, some speculation, maybe reckless, but probably informed. Jeremy Fowler wrote, Nick Sirianni has quieted the preseason noise with the Eagles' 13-3 season. This was before the game Sunday. Would a first-round playoff exit reignite talks about his job status? It's hard to say, but it's a question some people around the league are wondering, as am I. 215-592-9494. Hugh, where do you stand on Sirianni? Look, it was a great regular season. They won 14 games. For you, has he already done enough to secure his job long term?
I think he has, but I tell you what, Joe. I'd like to add a little bit of validity or you know, some thought to what you said. I get where you're coming from, because there was a time early in the season where it looked like this team was trending in the wrong direction. It looked like this team was coming unraveled. It looked like our coach was coming unraveled, and there's a lot of speculation. You know, we hear the rumors or the story came out that he had to go upstairs and talk to the owner and apologize for his actions when he had a tete-a-tete with the fans. Mm-hmm. I think that it was trending in that direction. But as the season progressed and they started to stack wins, you can't deny that Coach Sirianni is good for this team. Now, I know I presented the question last week to Ike, and Ike poo-pooed it. And I asked Ike a question. I said, do you think Coach Sirianni we'll get an opportunity somewhere else? That is still remains to be seen. And I don't think that's the case. But the bottom line is this. You look at Coach Sirianni's resume since he's been here. 50 games.
In 4 years.
That's
good.
That's nothing to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the state of the NFL. You look at the landscape of the NFL. Mike McCarthy still has his job as of today in Dallas. I think after today, this is probably his last official day as the head coach or something like that, and he's been interviewing for other jobs. And then the New York Giants just retained their head coach and their GM, and they did not have a great season.
They won 3 games.
And so to sit there and throw a 50-win coach away because we don't like the way his sideline antics or the fact that he can't control himself in certain things. I don't know if you do that. It's bad analogy time. It's almost like having a significant other. I'm just going to say significant other. That when, you know, they get a couple tequila shots, you know, shirts coming off.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? Maybe dancing on some bars or whatnot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. But when they're not drinking, they're the best person they could possibly be. You know, a great, great friend, all this other stuff. It's what do you do? You probably try to, you know, make them not drink so much tequila, but there's you don't throw that person away.
Well, you
kind of work with.
Well, but that, you know, you could, or you could upgrade. I mean, at some point you might have to make a decision.
But it all depends. On, every now and then you got to throw back some shots of tequila, though.
Yeah, you do. You do that. 215-592-9494. Let me give you a couple analogies to where I'm at with Sirianni right now. There's a lot of similarities. The other day when Ray was on with the morning show, he compared, you know, he thought the spot of this game for the Eagles was a little eerily similar to last year with the Packers going to Dallas. Well, the similarities, to me, it's not so much just the matchup and the team. It's the other coach, right? Like last year, the Dallas Cowboys won the division. They played the Packers in the first round. Dallas walked in the playoffs as the number two seed. They were one of the best teams in the NFC. They got upset. They chose to keep the coach, even though all the conversation last year was, they're going to fire McCarthy? And then they had a down year this year at McCarthy. I mean, the Cowboys could have moved off McCarthy last year. They chose not to. And the other thing I'll think about, Hugh, you mentioned those 50 wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you an example of another person that had a lot of success, and their team didn't win a Super Bowl and said, you know what? We got to upgrade here. And then they did win a Super Bowl. Now, it's not a head coach. It's a quarterback. I'm going to give you a resume for a quarterback, all right? 4 years. 46 wins and a Super Bowl appearance, but they lost that Super Bowl. And after the fourth year,
I think I know what you're talking about.
The Los Angeles Rams moved off of Jared Goff, and they won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. Now, Goff's good, right? And you might say Sirianni's good. But the Rams said, we didn't win. Like, we have everything else good here. We didn't win. They upgraded
we had to upgrade at that position.
We have to upgrade the quarterback. We can't waste we can't waste Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and all that. And it worked for them.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm at. 215-592-9494. Sirianni needs to have playoff success for me to want to commit to this thing long term and say he's the coach here for the next 5 years. Otherwise, I'm like, well, what are we doing here? I don't want to waste this roster. They've had the best roster this season. They had it 2 years ago. You only get so many shots with the best team.
Oh, no question about that. And I give you another example just to help your case out a little bit. Coach Dungy, Tony Dungy, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He gets fired from there because I think they had an abysmal season. They were in the playoffs the following year. Then his last year there, I think they didn't make the playoffs. They fire him and go get Gruden, and he takes him to the Super Bowl.
And won it the first year.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where there are examples of moving on and making the team better. I look at it like this. Now, there are two things at play here. This roster is good enough that it feels like this is the year to get it done.
Yep.
When you talk about everybody else in the NFL. And there's also that if you don't get it done, is it time to shake things up? That's a tough question to answer, but I'm not there with Coach Sirianni. I think he's done a great job in these 4 years. Are there things about Coach Sirianni that I don't like? Some of his antics and everything? Yes. But damn it, 50 wins.
It's a nice round number. It is. 215-592-9494. All right, let's have the conversation as we start the postseason. We all have big expectations. You know, no matter whoever you talk to, it's like either Super Bowl or very close to it is the expectation. Like I think I haven't talked to one person the last couple weeks that says anything less than going to the NFC title game is okay. I mean, that's the kind of team they have. That's the kind of seed they have. They have health on their side. They should go deep. So if what happens if that doesn't happen? 215-592-9494. Has Nick Sirianni for you already done enough to secure his job? He has for Hugh. He has it for me. Let's hear Chris Canty, ESPN. This was a few weeks ago, but the storyline hasn't changed. Here's what he feels about Sirianni.
Howie Rosen has gifted him a roster that should make a deep playoff run, a roster that's capable of getting back to the Super Bowl. If they fall short and they underwhelm in the postseason like they did last year, losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then I think it's on the board that Nick Sirianni could lose his job, especially considering what's going to be available in the coaching pool this hiring cycle. Remember, this was also the same franchise that waited a couple of weeks until after the season was over with to say that he was coming back. This is also the same franchise where the general manager and not the head coach was the one to go out and hire his new coordinators after the guys that he had last year failed miserably. So when you look at all of these things, it sets up for Nick Sirianni to be the fall guy if the Philadelphia Eagles don't get where everybody in that organization.
215-592-9494. The bottom line is this for me. I haven't seen enough to secure Sirianni's job. 14 wins is a wonderful season. He did a good job this year. But this is a GM roster story more than it is a head coach story the way I view it. He needs to win playoff games. I can't leave this season and you tell me in the last 4 years all they did is win two playoff games. That's not good enough. 215-592-9494. Darren Sproles, he was on with Kay Adams. He weighed in on the idea of Sirianni and basically said, no, he's fine.
Really crazy. There are some rumors. Let's talk about this. If the Eagles lose in the first round of the playoffs, there's a report made by ESPN that Nick Sirianni's job could be in jeopardy. What do you make of that?
Nah. Nick, coaches, he's done a great job. He's done a great job. And then, but he is the winningest coach, like in the first 4 years of any Eagles coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of wins.
I don't feel like his job is in jeopardy.
But they're like, there's a lot of one and done. There's a lot of wild coach stuff going on. I know you're close you're super close to that organization, of course. Like, so you're saying that's total BS. There's no way he should be on the hot seat.
All talk, yeah.
Love that.
It's all talk.
Listen.
He was workshopping it, Kyle. No, Darren. I know Darren's in town, so definitely. I wasn't laughing at you, dog. I was laughing because it was obvious that you were caught off guard. You were caught off guard with the question because I would think that his first thought was, like, what the hell is she talking about?
Yeah, he had to workshop the answer.
And he was trying to think. He didn't want to give an uninformed answer. But he wasn't prepared for the fact that she asked him what she asked him.
Not the strongest endorsement.
You know what I mean? But I hear what you're saying, and it does sound like that. But I'm telling you, it was more like, why the hell is she asking me this question?
Yeah.
Buddy won 50 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I get his hesitation and his trepidation to answer because he's trying to figure out he's trying to figure out in his mind, I'm assuming, what the hell has he done that I don't know about that would potentially get him fired. So he's trying, you know, on the fly. He's trying to do all that on the fly. So I get that part of it. But to her point, crazy things have happened in the NFL, man. And this is a roster that is made to win now. And that's the thing. I don't think it's a crazy question. I'm hearing people calling and texting me and talking about, hey, why is he talking about this? It's not crazy. I understand we're getting ready to go into a playoff game, but there's a lot riding on this. If it was far fetched, then it wouldn't be talked about.
Well, it's out there. ESPN,
you know what I mean? It's
Mike
out. It's been out there. It's not, and this is not something that we're fabricating. Because I feel like a lot of times, man, like I look at social media, and we ask questions, and people immediately say, "Well, that sounds like something that you know you're making things up." No, dog.
Well, he also doesn't have a contract extension yet.
Yes.
I mean, if they loved him so much, he'd have a contract extension.
Like for the folks out there that think you're trying to be negative, let's workshop this a little bit. If it was not being talked about, it wouldn't be said. Like, seriously, everything that comes out of this station, that comes from national television, there's somewhere where that story has been talked about. Now, I will say this. There are times where there are stories that are fabricated. I'll give you that. But this has been talked about for weeks because let's not forget that when Coach Sirianni had his Britney Spears moment and then he went out there and he yelled at a fan, there was a lot of people that weren't up. They were not happy with that. They were not happy with that. And there was speculation on if this thing goes south that Coach Sirianni won't be here. I understand that we're getting ready for a playoff run and we're in the throes of that and everything, but it's still on the table because he does not have a contract extension yet.
And he doesn't have a Super Bowl. Look, you mentioned the 50 wins, and it's a very nice round number, and it's a great story. I mean, he that's his resume, and he should be proud of that, and the Eagles should be proud of that. But Doug Peterson won 42 games his first 4 years. You know why he has a statue outside the link? Not because of wins in October, because he won the Super Bowl. That's the standard here now to get to and win Super Bowls. 215-592 and 9494 is how you hop in. Kyle, what are you thinking here as we enter the postseason And we all expect them to win on Sunday, which I think they are, and I believe they are. And he better, because otherwise I'm not fully sold. Where are you at on the Sirianni thing as we project his future?
So that's kind of the biggest part of it for me, because we had this conversation a few weeks ago, and I was like, extend the guy. He's done a fantastic job this season. I still think he has done a fantastic job this season. But, like, now that we're here, I think I don't really see a world in which we lose to this Green Bay Packers team. They feel like us last season, limping into the postseason, mm-hmm. a dead team walking. Like, we should kick their ass. So that's the expectation right now. And I understand he's won 50 games, but they lose this. Then all of a sudden, we're talking a 2-4 postseason record with a great roster for the entire time that he's been here. 2-4 postseason record and not having gone to the second round all but one season. And the time he did that was, you know, they beat Daniel Jones, they beat Josh Johnson. It's not a decorated playoff resume. So I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to transport myself into a period where, God forbid, they do lose this game to the Packers. Then it's kind of like, well, you know, is there a move that we can make? And I sort of equate it to the Phillies conversation we had last season, where we're like, well, I don't really know what to do. There's not much more you can add to this roster to make it, like, that much better. It's a great roster, but maybe they just kind of need a shakeup or a new voice to push them over the top. And we talked about that with Rob Thompson. I don't know. I feel like I might, that's where my mind might be if they do end up losing to Green Bay.
Well, if everything else is great, then what's the part you could upgrade, right? You start wondering. 215-592-9494. Has Nick Sirianni already done enough to secure his job? Where do you come down as we enter the postseason with huge expectations here? And I'll put it this way. If this thing doesn't at least get to the NFC title game, then that's an underachievement. I expect us to be doing a pregame show and shows leading up to an NFC championship game. That's my expectation now for this postseason. The coach has got to lead him. Let's go to the phone lines. Chris in Middletown starts us off. Good morning, Chris.
Happy hump day.
Good morning, Chris. What's up, buddy?
You, DeCamera Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a headline on Twins, DeCamera Douglas.
D&D. Chris sent me a photo of the two of you in the same photo.
Is that right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I saw a headline online. It read like this. It said, former Eagles Hall of Famer turns his back on fan base.
Wow. That's a strong headline.
So let me get this straight.
I wrote that one.
Yeah, I was about to say. I knew. See, there's some nefarious things working here. I see that.
Go ahead, Chris.
You even told me to say, yeah, call him the camera. He can't stand that.
You. Say it ain't
Chris,
so,
I can't believe you let my partner do that, man.
I just planted the seeds. I can't. what grows from them, I have no control over.
You did it to yourself,
What
man.
You mean? How did I do? Listen, Chris, do me a favor.
You're refusing to dye your beard green for the fan base.
This has shifted.
Run, and you don't want to be part of it. You're like, nah, screw y'all.
This has shifted from me losing the bet to now me letting the fan base down.
Oh, it has. Yep.
Now I know what those kids felt like when they saw.
Don't hit me with the kids, man. Not the kids, man.
My daughter said to me, she's like, "Why doesn't Hugh like the Eagles anymore, Daddy?" I said, "I don't know. He doesn't want to support us, honey. You know
that is not the case."
At dinner last time, my kid said, "Is Hugh dying his beard?"
No.
And I said, "He's trying to weasel out."
Wow.
Go ahead. So, Chris, what are you thinking on Sirianni?
So here's what I think about Nick. Nick's not on the hot seat. Nick is on the inferno seat this week. All right, guys, let me speak some truth and wisdom. And then I got some important information for all those that want to reference his regular season record. So first of all, let's start with he's 2-3 in the playoffs. All right, if he loses this week, he is 1,000% getting deuces. See it. All right, he's out the door. All right. Here's what you have to understand, though. When the people talk about the regular season wins, they're looking at it as he did this, and that's why the organization values him, because he's winning these games. They don't see it that way. This organization views the head coach in a certain way, and I'm not trying to downplay it, but it's like they see certain positions, and we've talked about this before, whether it be the linebacker or you know other positions on the roster, they see them more as cogs in the machine, because what Howie and Jeff have built is they've built everything that you just laid out, Joe. They've built that phenomenal roster. They built all this phenomenal talent. They've brought in top coordinators, especially right now for Nick. And if it fails, they expect the regular season success to come, and they more importantly expect this to win championships. And as evident of that, guys, look at their – they believe in their method. Look at what their method produced before. Doug Peterson was a Super Bowl-winning head coach and then went up to Jacksonville and fell flat on his face, like Mr. Greenbeard. But they expect that this system works. So if it doesn't, there's only one glaring hole. And I know we like to play this game with Jalen, Joe, that you like to say, hey, well, what if a certain quarterback was here? What would this team look like? Ask that same question with some other good head coaches out there. If they were in this situation with this roster, what would it look like? And I think he is, if he doesn't have massive success, and I don't know what that's defined as, only the organization does, and in my eyes, I think they're viewing it as, if he doesn't get us back to the Super Bowl, it's time to replace him, because again, they see it as their apparatus that they built. He's only a mere piece.
Yeah, Chris, the way I would frame it is almost like a baseball manager. You know, like where, yes, they have an effect, they can help, and there's really good ones, but it's about the roster. It's about the GM. The way baseball teams are, and Chris Goodfunk, I think the Eagles view their coaching situation like that. 215-592-9494. In your opinion, has Nick Sirianni already done enough to keep his job beyond the season? Seth Joyner at 11. Your calls on this next. As we enter the postseason, I have high expectations. I expect to win on Sunday. Sirianni, has he already done enough to secure his job long term? Or does he need postseason success? I need to be in the NFC title game. Otherwise, I say, what are we doing here? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Your call's coming up. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's been like that all year, right? Somebody goes down, the next person steps up and plays their ass off. That's a team. That's a team, guys. And you guys played to the standard. You played your ass off. You played tough. You played physical. You played nasty. You played grimy. All those different things to help us get our 14th win of the season, which is a franchise record.
Nobody wants to win a championship more than this guy, but today he won his 300th game as the owner of the Eagles. Jeffrey, break this team down. Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is for all you guys. We got a lot more to accomplish. 14 wins, be proud of it, but you know where our goals are.
The end there. 14 wins, be proud of
14 it. 14 wins and 50 wins as the Eagles' head coach. That's right, I said it. I'll say it again. 50 wins. Like somebody sent me something to say at 48-20. I said, no, bro, he's won 50 games as the Eagles' head coach.
He has, and Jeff Lurie's won 300. But I like at the end there where Lurie said, but now the real season starts. Now the games really matter as we enter the postseason. 215-592-9494. Has Nick Sirianni for you done enough to secure his job? He hasn't for me. I mean, that's the bottom line. We got to win the playoffs now. Wonderful regular season, and he deserves credit for turning everything around at the bye. I give him credit for that. He's done a nice job this year, but I view the Eagles different than other teams. Like, this is about the postseason now. It's about big-time success here. It's about winning a Super Bowl. And that's why I look at him like, if I'm Jeff Lurie and I'm Howie Roseman and they don't go far, I'm not giving a contract extension. Like, why? I'm not. I'm not doing it.
Put it like this. Because there's two trains of thought here. If they – I can't even get it out because I'm trying to figure out the way I was saying. If they do not extend him, I understand why, because you've seen examples of why this is important, because you have a roster to win with now.
Absolutely. We all feel that.
Yeah, and you talk about, because I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and they said something that is very valid. When you look at all the rosters, man for man, all 22 of all the playoff teams, there's not a team, when you go man for man, that is more talented than the Eagles that's in the playoffs.
I agree with that.
And it's one of those things where you have to factor in, and I know we're getting ready for a playoff game and not trying to be morbid or anything, but I think that a lot of people feel like with our roster, in Detroit, it's not going to be an easy place to play.
And they have an advantage with home field.
Yes, they
do.
They have those. But when you talk about man for man and you factor in health and the fact that we were able to be in a position to have somewhat of a bye. And those other teams that we're looking at, Minnesota, Green Bay,
Rams,
they're beat up.
Yep.
They're kind of beat up. We are the better roster. And not only that, outside of Minnesota, we've seen two of these teams that's in the playoffs. Three, technically, that we potentially could see. Because we could potentially see Tampa Bay.
Oh, next week. If they win, they're coming here. Yeah.
No, but we've seen these teams. So I don't think it's far-fetched to, when you factor in all of that stuff, to sit there and say, hey, damn, if Coach Sirianni falls in this, then there might be a real conversation. Like, that is not far-fetched. That is not being a hater. That's looking at this realistically and saying, man, I know, and there's all kind of intangibles that go into this. But when you look at man for man, it's like, damn. You can't see this plan out any other way than us being in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to be given the best roster. Now, go win with it. Go get a championship. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Well, every time Nick does something silly, I want to fire him. But then he reels off 12 to 14 wins.
Mm-hmm.
It would be difficult. Like, unless he completely boggles this game on Sunday, like with time management or just does something really stupid, it's just really difficult for me to have to let him go. And I wanted him fired in the beginning of the year in the first 4 weeks when he was acting crazy. But, man, the guy – as long as he still has the locker room, I don't see how you could let him go right now.
Yeah, that's my thing, man. It's like when I look at this, and there are things that old school Hugh, as a former player, look at and say, that probably wouldn't fly in my era. But guess what? It's not my era. You know? And it's one of those things where you look at it and you look at Dan Campbell, for example, and his coaching style.
Yep.
These guys answer to Coach Sirianni. They respond to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that matters.
Well, let me ask you guys this. If let's say they do, let's say they go that route and let him go. If for some crazy reason they do lose, which I don't think they will, but who's available and who would be better than him to come right in and take this team over the top?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, look, if we're going for names that are established, Vrabel's probably the biggest name out there that people are interviewing. Otherwise, we're in the bucket of coordinators, right? Guys that or guys that have already been a coach and trying to get back in. But, you know, Ben Johnson's the big name. Yeah, Jeff, my guess is they'd probably replace him with another guy that were like, who's that, right? Just like we did with Sirianni. It's kind of the way the Eagles do things since Chip left. Not the big name, but it works for them. Yeah, I don't have – it's not like I want to move – Yeah, I mean, well, Kellen Moore certainly could. I mean, yeah, possibility.
Yeah, I mean, they have him sitting right there, a young guy, pretty really good. I mean, I guess if they do let him go, that would be a route. That's the route I would go. I would stay in house because you got a guy right now that could probably step right in.
Well, and it would be the same offense for Jalen. And Jeff, we appreciate the call, which has obviously been a thing. Let me give you an example. Again, the idea of just pointing to his resume. That's wonderful. He's got a nice resume. But is the objective to have a nice resume or to win Super Bowls? I mean, the objective is to win Super Bowls. A couple years ago, I gave you the example of Jared Goff with the Rams. His resume said you shouldn't move off him. He was a number one pick who went to the Super Bowl and kept going to the playoffs. And then they didn't win. And they said, we can upgrade here and win the Super Bowl. And it worked for them. Now, Goff's good. Goff might go win his own Super Bowl now. Let me give you another example. In 2006, the Chargers were 14-2. They lost their first playoff game. Marty Schottenheimer out the door. It's not unprecedented. It's just the bottom line is, for you, has Sirianni done enough? I know for a lot of people, he has. Not for me. Dean in Upper Darby. What's up, Dean?
Yeah, I don't know why we're having this conversation, but let's have it. Go back a little bit before the season started. We had the slump last year. It was Sirianni and Jalen were on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I want to be very brutal, I think this is more issue with Jalen than Sirianni when he has his misfits and he talks loosely or he acts immature or whatever. So, Joe and you, honestly, if you look at where we've come with the defense, with Vangio, never expected these guys would play at the level they're playing. And you look at how the offense has ripened with Barkley and AJ and Devontae. This complete roster we're seeing prior to this season, the two guys on the hot seat were Jalen first and Sirianni with his misfits and whatever. But I think more concentration should be on Jalen. If you see the first quarter and you see how it's so hard to get him to pick up, we should be adding Jalen to the conversation as well. Maybe the one thing we need to twist with such a good defense and an offense is the quarterback. Only leave him out of it. I don't know why. I don't want to seem so hard for a playoff game we're having on Sunday. But if we must have this conversation, the factor has to be in with Jalen. How well he's releasing. I mean, he's staying better in the pocket now.
Mm-hmm.
You see him not as, you know, off as he used to be, running off, not throwing to his right. I think he's managing better. But there's something with his release, something that has to pivot more in terms of his performance. You cannot have this conversation without putting Jalen in the
picture. So, I get it. Dean, I think it's fair to – I mean, I heard this morning as I was driving in, Dean, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. The camera this morning said Jalen is his biggest concern entering the postseason. And that's fair. I mean, he's coming off of a concussion. He had a good year, but sometimes it felt choppy, the offense. I mean, that's okay to say, but
yeah.
But here's the reality. It's harder to find a quarterback than to plug a new coach in. I mean, first of all, you got a $100 million cap hit to get rid of Jalen. Second, who is the quarterback if it's not Jalen? Like, Hugh, if Jalen, when you enter the postseason and you say the two biggest things you wonder about are how the head coach is going to do, how the quarterback's going to do, I think that's fair to say. But I'm way more confident Jalen is going to be here next year, no matter what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that because there's a money factor that's involved in that. And it just
and you have to have a replacement.
Yeah, and it all depends on how egregious it looks. You know, if Jalen's out there and he's just stinking up the joint, then I think that's a conversation to be had. But let's be honest. Do we think that's really going to happen? Like, Jalen's going to play so bad?
I don't think so.
That we'd look at him and say, oh, well, he can't be the quarterback?
No.
And people tend to forget, like, when we talk about these things, it depends on how the scenario plays out. Now, if they go toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers and they lose by, say, 3 points, I don't think this is a conversation to be had. But if they just look inept offensively and all of a sudden, which I don't think is going to happen, and the defense looks bad, then there's a conversation to be had. But I don't think that anybody feels that this is one of those situations where, you know, we should – the Green Bay Packers are in the same class as us.
Well, based on the season, they're not. I mean, they won 11, we won 14. They come into the playoffs really the vibes, and we played some of the audio yesterday, the Green Bay stink this week. They're talking about fixing everything, a locker room meeting after the game on Sunday. The coach is admitting he blew the time management at the end of the game. They're not coming in here. Like, last year, the Packers felt like kind of dangerous entering the postseason. And they have good players, so I'm not writing them off, but they don't feel that same way. The Eagles should win this game Sunday. I expect them to. And I look at Sirianni and I say, I need playoff success before I fully support this guy being here a long time. Ian's up next here on WIP. What's up, Ian?
Hey, Joe, Hugh, how you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
Man, long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate you taking it.
Appreciate you calling, Ian. So what are you thinking?
I think this is crazy that we're having this conversation. I believe Sirianni's done plenty to keep his job going next season.
For what? Why? Like how? And what? Why?
Wait. So I think if we zoom out a little bit, I think, you know, when we looked at like the beginning of the season, we saw the schedule. If I had told you we were going to sweep the NFC North, we were going to win in New Orleans, we were going to beat Dallas twice, I think you probably would have thought we were crazy.
You mean the AFC North? But I hear you, right?
I'm sorry, the AFC North.
I would have said you were crazy. Yeah, Ian, I did not see 14 wins coming. I said 10-7, so they were way better than I thought.
And so I think the only reason that, you know, this Sirianni thing is coming up is because of the success that they've had this season. Also, in a year where, you know, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retire, that was a huge talking point at the beginning of the season. And Cam Jurgens and Jalen Carter, I'm not saying they're to that level, but they are fantastic this season.
They've been great. I mean, they have been, you know, they've replaced those guys, which is a big feat in itself. Yeah, in a way, he's a victim of his own success, right? Because now the expectations have risen here. I just look at it and I say, I'll ask you this. What's your expectation for how far they're going to go?
My expectation is at least the NFC championship.
Me too. But if that doesn't happen, does the coach do a good enough job? I don't feel like he did.
The hang-up I have, and I think, I don't know, I'm sure people have brought it up a bunch, is who do you go to? I think nobody else, no head coach in the NFC has this kind of thing. I don't think LaFleur's postseason success is as impressive. Dan Campbell is still, you know, is still young in the head coaching position. I think Sirianni, when you stack it up against them, even though if they lose to the Packers, it would be a losing record, but I still think it's up to what the other head coaches, I mean, you know, McVay, since the Super Bowl, hasn't been stellar either.
Mm. Well,
but he won one.
He got one, and he's got to two. And Ian, we appreciate the quote. If you just stack up resumes, then you're never going to want to fire an Eagles coach. I mean, like, let's go back for a second. Did Andy's resume say he should get fired here?
No.
Did Doug's resume say he get fired?
No.
I mean, at some point, hold on a second. Chip Kelly's resume wasn't a fireable offense through 3 years.
But it just didn't work.
It just didn't work, and they thought they could be better. And that I know that had more stuff to it. But I'm just saying, like, just the resume can't be the only thing. There's got to be is this the right guy to win a championship?
You know what's funny? I remember when Andy Reid, Coach Reid, was going through that thing. I was at ESPN, and I remember Jaws was there too. And I was in my feelings a little bit because, you know, that's my coach.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, there were rumors about him getting fired. And I remember talking to Jaws about it, and I was like, I was salty. I was like, damn, Charles, they shouldn't fire him. And he said, you know, Hugh, sometimes the message gets stale, mm-hmm. and it's time to move on. He said it happens there, but he said Andy will be okay. But that's the truth. But I don't think that's the case here. I think here's the thing. I feel like the message is sound with the players. Might not resonate with the organization. A camp where the players love Coach Sirianni, and I think that they do. But the organization's like, yeah, he winning, but all that other stuff, you know what I mean? I don't really. But what do you do? Because he's getting results. He's unorthodox. Let's just use that word.
I like that word.
Unorthodox.
It's a nice, friendly word.
Well, in business and in companies, you always want something that's going to move the needle. Mm-hmm. Move the needle.
Sure.
And let's be honest, Nick moves the needle, whether it's good or bad. Now, you look at the success that he's had, the season that he had last year, it's crazy to me that he's not up for Coach of the Year, but it kind of tells you why.
Well,
because nobody likes him.
Well, or okay,
I mean, you know, so, I mean, let's just call it what it is. A lot of people don't like him.
I think it could be one of two things. Maybe he's not loved. I mean, that you.
No, he's definitely not loved.
But the other thing is, isn't Coach of the Year someone you think that is taking, you know, think of the show Chopped. You ever see Chopped, the TV show where they cook you? You ever see that show?
I haven't watched it, but I've heard about
it. The idea is you get a basket of ingredients and you have to make a nice meal out of it, right? But you don't eat, like, the basket could have some weird stuff in it.
Yeah, and you got to do it the best you can.
So that's kind of how I think a Coach of the Year. Like, you took this weird basket of ingredients and you made something really nice out of it. Sirianni didn't get a weird basket of ingredients.
He got a nice little T-bone. He got one of what they call tomahawk steaks.
Yeah, he got the best ingredients on the market.
Wagyu tomahawk.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and he made a nice meal out of it. But isn't that the expectations? If I give you the best ingredients, you better make a good meal. And he has. But I want the best meal. I want a championship. And that's why, as I sit here today, it's not enough yet. 14 wins. You guys can go celebrate that. I'm not. I'll celebrate when there's a championship with this guy. 215-592-9494. Can we hear from Brian McFadden, CBS Sports, his perspective on the Eagles situation as we enter the postseason?
Another outstanding season. The number two seed in the NFC. You get a home playoff game. The best rushing performance by any runner there in organization in history in Saquon Barkley. If he happens to lose round one, oh my goodness, they're gonna try to light the city on fire. I'm just saying, because it doesn't make any sense why his name is always flirting in those conversations about his seat being hot. I agree with you. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But one thing we do know, it seems like every year, regardless of how good he coaches his team, regardless of how good they've been, his name is always in that conversation. So that's why I go 8, because when you look at what they've done, they could be arguably considered the most balanced team, not just in the NFC, but in the entire NFL. So just imagine what the city will do if they lose round one to the Green Bay Packers.
It is pretty wild, Hugh, that he's involved, and I don't just mean us, and like WIP and the fan base. He's involved in more will he lose his job headlines than coach of the year headlines.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
But I feel like a lot of that is because if you talk to guys in NFL circles, like higher ups, some of the antics that Coach Sirianni has, they're not head coach like, and that rubs some of the old heads wrong. It's kind of like the old regime and the way coaching goes. You know who this is equivalent to around the time when he was coaching? He just was up for a head coaching job. Rex Ryan was kind of that guy a little bit. You know, but it's kind of ironic that he's interviewing for a job that he once had before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's now acceptable in this era. Rex, when he was with the Jets,
he wasn't buttoned up enough.
He wasn't.
It's kind of come back towards.
You see what I'm saying?
The Rex personality.
His personality is more accepted now. That's kind of how I look at Coach Sirianni. Coach Sirianni is rough around the edges. Do not deny that. I remember, and this is going to be ironic coming from me, I didn't like Coach Sirianni when they interviewed him and he didn't put a suit on. Think about that. And I come to work every day with some shorts on or some pajamas, and I have the nerve to be mad at somebody because that they don't look professional at their job.
But you did wear your suit to get fired.
Yeah, I did wear my suit to get fired. But, Joe, think about that. I sat there. And when I heard the story about how Nick was on vacation and Jeffrey, and I think it was
Howie
dressed down to help to make him comfortable, he had on some Hawaiian shirt and whatever. And I'm like, how dare he go on a job interview and not get dressed up? Because that's the era that I came from. And that's, you know, I'm the brother that got fired with a suit on. So, you know what I'm saying? So when I heard that, I held that against him. But as I started to workshop this thing, and I'm thinking, well, they're winning, and there's no direct path or right path to winning. He's figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened last year, the collapse from last year, he figured out a way to get this team on the right page and get them in the position that they're in now. That says a lot, especially when you have somebody. Think about that. Your boss is looking at you and like, I don't like the way you – I don't like – think about it like this. If Rod didn't like us, which he does, but if he didn't, and we're doing well, he's in a precarious situation because he's like, okay, they're doing well, don't really care too much for him, but they're moving weight. They're moving product. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you have to take the good with the bad. Because everybody's not going to be like you.
Well, I understand that. And I've accepted his personality, and the team does, they respond to him. I think they like him for the most part, which is great. And they really play hard for him. That's fine. But I'm judging him on how he coaches in these postseason games. That's what matters to me now. I've moved past we've watched the Eagles. Just look at their track record, even since Andy left. Andy's his own special thing, right? Andy's maybe the greatest coach of all time. He's on the path to doing that. He wins another Super Bowl. He may surpass Bill Belichick. That's how great Andy is. But just look at the Eagles since Andy Reid. They win with whoever the coach is.
I mean, Howie does a hell of a job. Man.
I mean, like, it's the reality of it. They won. They had a winning record with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly stinks. I mean, he got washed out of the NFL. He went to San Francisco and was a disaster. They won with Doug. And I love Doug. Look what happened to Doug in Jacksonville. He washed out. He just got fired. He had one good season in Jacksonville. They're winning with Nick. Guess what? I've got news for you. They win with another coach. I mean, like, it's not about the coach. It's about, here's when the coach can affect things. I need him to be at his best in the playoffs. You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to walk in here Monday and say, he's coach circles around LaFleur. Best coach out there.
I will say this about Coach Sirianni. And I've said this in the last couple of weeks, but I've noticed it even more, even in his coaching style. Coaches turn the corner. He, even though he's still over the top, when you think back on his press conferences, I would say after week four.
It's been a little tamer.
It's been tame. You can't really, like, his coaching jobs that he's done, he's coached his ass off these last couple of weeks, man.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20
years. Like, seriously, think about it. And I think that he realizes that. He's changed over the last couple of weeks.
Well, now let's get it done and go win a Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. On the other side, Seth Joyner will join us. His thoughts on the game, Sirianni, Jalen coming off a protocol, and how the Eagles match up with the Green Bay Packers. Seth joins us next. All your phone calls. Well, has Sirianni done enough to secure his job long term for you? 215-592-9494. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Football fans, buckle up, because for the first time ever, we got five straight days of playoff football in College of the Pros, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. With a no-sweat same-game parlay, you combine your bets from the same game for a chance at even bigger winnings. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get bonus bets back. So not only do we get to watch five straight days of playoff football, but that's also five chances to win big. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to be part of this epic run. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. It's the great playoff payoff. And it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the phone calls here on Nick Sirianni. By the way, the Nick Sirianni press conference coming up at noon today. Eagles push back practice a little bit here to around 3:30 instead of 2:10. They're going to have practice today on the field at the Link.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Because that's when it's going to be brick.
Oh, you're trying to get prepared for the field conditions?
Listen, let me tell you.
I like that.
The later, the worst part that I remember about playing those 4 o'clock games.
Cold?
Ooh, no, because it sets it. Like, it'll start off in this one temperature.
Well, that darkness will get there soon.
I wish I could use the words that I really want to use to describe how cold it is out there on these airwaves, but I can't.
No.
But, boy, I tell you, it's a different animal when that sun starts to go down.
Well, it's good.
It's been like that all year, right? Somebody goes down, the next person steps up and plays their ass off. That's a team. That's a team, guys. And you guys played to the standard. You played your ass off. You played tough. You played physical. You played nasty. You played grimy. All those different things to help us get our 14th win of the season, which is a franchise record.
Nobody wants to win a championship more than this guy, but today he won his 300th game as the owner of the Eagles. Jeffrey, break this team down.
Hey, listen, this is for all you guys. We got a lot more to accomplish. 14 wins, be proud of it, but you know where our goals are.
The end there. 14 wins, be proud of
14
it.
14 wins and 50 wins as the Eagles' head coach. That's right, I said it. I'll say it again. 50 wins. Like somebody sent me something that said 48-20. I said, no, bro, he's won 50 games as the Eagles' head coach.
He has, and Jeff Lurie's won 300. But I like at the end there where Lurie said, but now the real season starts. Now the games really matter as we enter the postseason. 215-592-9494. Has Nick Sirianni for you done enough to secure his job? He hasn't for me. I mean, that's the bottom line. We got to win the playoffs now. Wonderful regular season, and he deserves credit for turning everything around at the bye. I give him credit for that. He's done a nice job this year, but I view the Eagles different than other teams. Like, this is about the postseason now. It's about big-time success here. It's about winning a Super Bowl. And that's why I look at him like, if I'm Jeff Lurie and I'm Howie Roseman and they don't go far, I'm not giving him a contract extension. Like, why? I'm not. I'm not doing it.
Put it like this. Because there's two trains of thought here. If they – I can't even get it out because I'm trying to figure out the way I want to say it. If they do not extend him, I understand why, because you've seen examples of why this is important, because you have a roster to win with now.
Absolutely. We all feel that.
Yeah, and you talk about, because I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and they said something that is very valid. When you look at all the rosters, man for man, all 22 of all the playoff teams, there's not a team, when you go man for man, that is more talented than the Eagles that's in the playoffs.
I agree with that.
And it's one of those things where you have to factor in, and I know we're getting ready for a playoff game and not trying to be morbid or anything, but I think that a lot of people feel like with our roster, in Detroit, is not going to be an easy place to play.
And they have an advantage with home field.
Yes, they do.
They have those.
But when you talk about man for man and you factor in health and the fact that we were able to be in a position – to have somewhat of a bye. And those other teams that we're looking at, Minnesota, Green Bay,
Rams,
they're beat up.
Yep.
They're kind of beat up. We are the better roster. And not only that, outside of Minnesota, we've seen two of these teams that's in the playoffs. Three, technically, that we potentially could see. Because we could potentially see Tampa Bay.
Oh, next week. If they win, they're coming here. Yeah.
No, but we've seen these teams. So I don't think it's far-fetched to when you factor in all of that stuff to sit there and say, hey, damn, if Coach Sirianni falls in this, then there might be a real conversation. Like, that is not far-fetched. That is not being a hater. That's looking at this realistically and saying, man, I know, and there's all kind of intangibles that go into this. But when you look at man for man, it's like, damn. You can't see this plan out any other way than us being in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to be given the best roster. Now, go win with it. Go get a championship. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Well, every time Nick does something silly, I want to fire him. But then he reels off 12, 15, or 12 to 14 wins.
Mm-hmm.
It would be difficult. Like, unless he completely boggles this game on Sunday, like with time management, or just does something really stupid, it's just really difficult for me to have to let him go. And I wanted him fired in the beginning of the year, in the first 4 weeks when he was acting crazy. But man, the guy, as long as he still has the locker room, I don't see how you could let him go right now.
Yeah, that's my thing, man. It's like when I look at this, and there are things that old school Hugh, as a former player, look at and say, that probably wouldn't fly in my era. But guess what? It's not my era, you know. And it's one of those things where you look at it and you look at Dan Campbell, for example, and his coaching style.
Yep.
These guys answer to Coach Sirianni. They respond to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that matters.
Well, let me ask you guys this. If let's say they go that route and let him go, if for some crazy reason they do lose, which I don't think they will, but who's available and who would be better than him to come right in and take this team over the top?
It's a great question. I mean, look, if we're going for names that are established, Vrabel's probably the biggest name out there that people are interviewing. Otherwise, we're in the bucket of coordinators, right? Guys that, yeah. or guys that have already been a coach and trying to get back in. But, you know, Ben Johnson's the big name. Yeah, Jeff, my guess is they'd probably replace him with another guy that were like, who's that, right? Just like we did with Sirianni. It's kind of the way the Eagles do things since Chip left. Not the big name, but it works for them. Yeah, I don't have, it's not like I want to move. Yeah, I mean, well, Kellen Moore certainly could. Possibility.
Yeah, I mean, they have him sitting right there, a young guy, pretty really good. I mean, I guess if they do let him go, that would be a route. That's the route I would go. I would stay in-house because you got a guy right now that could probably step right in.
Well, and it would be the same offense for Jalen. And Jeff, we appreciate the call, which has obviously been a thing. Let me give you an example. Again, the idea of just pointing to his resume, that's wonderful. He's got a nice resume. But is the objective to have a nice resume or to win Super Bowls? I mean, the objective is to win Super Bowls. A couple years ago, I gave you the example of Jared Goff with the Rams. His resume said you shouldn't move off him. He was a number one pick who went to the Super Bowl and kept going to the playoffs. And then they didn't win. And they said, we can upgrade here and win the Super Bowl. And it worked for them. Now, Goff's good. Goff might go win his own Super Bowl now. Let me give you another example. In 2006, the Chargers were 14-2. They lost their first playoff game. Marty Schottenheimer out the door. It's not unprecedented. It's just the bottom line is, has Sirianni done enough? I know for a lot of people, he has. Not for me. Dean in Upper Darby. What's up, Dean?
Yeah, I don't know why we're having this conversation, but let's have it. Go back a little bit before the season started. We had the slump last year. It was Sirianni and Jalen were on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I want to be very brutal, I think this is more issue with Jalen than Sirianni when he has his misfits and he talks loosely or he acts immature or whatever. So, Joe and you, honestly, if you look at where we've come with the defense, with Vangio, never expected these guys would play at the level they're playing. And you look at how the offense has ripened with Barkley and AJ and Devontae, this complete roster we're seeing prior to this season, the two guys on the hot seat were Jalen first and Sirianni with his misfits and whatever. But I think more concentration should be on Jalen. If you see the first quarter and you see how it's so hard to get him to pick up, we should be adding Jalen to the conversation as well. Maybe the one thing we need to twist with such a great defense and an offense is the quarterback. Don't leave him out of it. I don't know why. I don't want to seem so hard for a playoff game we're having on Sunday. But if we must have this conversation, the factor has to be in with Jalen. How well he's releasing. I mean, he's staying better in the pocket now.
Mm-hmm.
You see him not as, you know, awful as he used to be, running off, not throwing to his right. I think he's managing better. But there's something with his release. something that has to pivot more in terms of his performance. You cannot have this conversation without putting Jalen in the
picture. So, Dean, I get it. I think it's fair to – I mean, I heard this morning as I was driving in, Dean, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. The camera this morning said Jalen is his biggest concern entering the postseason, and that's fair. I mean, he's coming off of a concussion. He had a good year, but sometimes it felt choppy, the offense. I mean, that's okay to say, but
yeah.
But here's the reality. It's harder to find a quarterback than to plug a new coach in. I mean, first of all, you got a $100 million cap hit to get rid of Jalen. Second, who is the quarterback if it's not Jalen? Like, when you enter the postseason and you say the two biggest things you wonder about are how the head coach is going to do, how the quarterback's going to do, I think that's fair to say. But I'm way more confident Jalen is going to be here next year no matter what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that because there's a money factor that's involved in that. And it just
And you have to have a replacement.
Yeah, and it all depends on how egregious it looks. You know, if Jalen's out there and he's just stinking up the joint, then I think that's a conversation to be had. But let's be honest. Do we think that's really going to happen? Like, Jalen's going to play so bad?
I don't think so.
That we look at him and say, oh, well, he can't be the quarterback?
No.
And people tend to forget, like, when we talk about these things, it depends on how the scenario plays out. Now, if they go toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers and they lose by, say, 3 points, I don't think this is a conversation to be had. But if they just look inept offensively and all of a sudden, which I don't think is going to happen, and the defense looks bad, then there's a conversation to be had. But I don't think that anybody feels that this is one of those situations where, you know, we should – the Green Bay Packers are in the same class as us.
Well, based on the season, they're not. I mean, they won 11, we won 14. They come into the playoffs really. The vibes, and we played some of the audio yesterday, the Green Bay stink this week. They're talking about fixing everything, a locker room meeting after the game on Sunday. The coach is admitting he blew the time management at the end of the game. They're not coming in here. Like, last year, the Packers felt like kind of dangerous entering the postseason. And they have good players, so I'm not writing them off, but they don't feel that same way. The Eagles should win this game Sunday. I expect them to. And I look at Sirianni and I say, I need playoff success before I fully support this guy being here a long time. Ian's up next here on WIP. What's up, Ian?
Hey, Joe, Hugh, how you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
Man, long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate you taking it.
Appreciate you calling, Ian. So what are you thinking?
I think this is crazy that we're having this conversation. I believe Sirianni's done plenty to keep his job going next season.
For what? Why? Like how? And what? Why?
So I think if we zoom out a little bit, I think, you know, when we looked at like the beginning of the season, we saw the schedule. If I had told you we were going to sweep the NFC North, we were going to win in New Orleans, we were going to beat Dallas twice, I think you probably would have thought we were crazy.
You mean the AFC North? But I hear you, right?
I'm sorry, the AFC North.
I would have said you were crazy. Yeah, Ian, I did not see 14 wins coming. I said 10-7, so they were way better than I thought.
And so I think the only reason that, you know, this Sirianni thing is coming up is because of the success that they've had this season. Also, in a year where, you know, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retire, that was a huge talking point at the beginning of the season. And Cam Jurgens and Jalen Carter, I'm not saying they're to that level, but they are fantastic this season.
Well, they've been great. I mean, they have been, you know, they've replaced those guys, which is a big feat in itself. Yeah, in a way, he's a victim of his own success, right? Because now the expectations have risen here. I just look at it and I say, I'll ask you this. What's your expectation for how far they're going to go?
My expectation is at least the NFC championship.
Me too. But if that doesn't happen, does the coach do a good enough job? I don't feel like he did.
The hang-up I have, and I think, I don't know, I'm sure people have brought it up a bunch, is who do you go to? I think nobody else, no head coach in the NFC has this kind of thing. I don't think LaFleur's postseason success is as impressive. Dan Campbell is still, you know, is still young in the head coaching position. I think Sirianni, when you stack it up against them, even though if they lose to the Packers, it would be a losing record, but I still think it's up to what the other head coaches, I mean, you know, McVay, since the Super Bowl, hasn't been stellar either.
Mm. Well,
yeah, but he won one.
He got one, and he's got to two. And Ian, we appreciate the phone call. If you just stack up resumes, then you're never going to want to fire an Eagles coach. I mean, like, just let's go back for a second. Did Andy's resume say he should get fired here?
No.
Did Doug's resume say he get fired?
No.
I mean, at some point, hold on a second. Chip Kelly's resume wasn't a fireable offense through 3 years.
But it just didn't work.
It just didn't work, and they thought they could be better. And that I know that had more stuff to it. But I'm just saying, like, just the resume can't be the only thing. There's got to be the, is this the right guy to win a championship?
You know what's funny? I remember when Andy Reid, Coach Reid, was going through that thing. I was at ESPN, and I remember Jaws was there too. And I was in my feelings a little bit because, you know, that's my coach.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, there were rumors about him getting fired. And I remember talking to Jaws about it. And I was like, I was salty. I was like, damn, Jaws, they shouldn't fire him. And he said, you know, he was, sometimes the message gets stale and it's time to move on. He said it happens there, but he said Andy would be okay. But that's the truth. But I don't think that's the case here. I think here's the thing. I feel like the message is sound with the players. Might not resonate with the organization. Might they might be a camp where the players love Coach Sirianni, and I think that they do. But the organization like, yeah, he winning, but all that other stuff, you know what I mean? I don't really. But what do you do? Because he's getting results. He's unorthodox. Let's just use that word.
I like that word.
Unorthodox.
It's a nice, friendly word.
Well, in business and in companies, you always want something that's going to move the needle. Move the needle.
Sure.
And let's be honest, Nick moves the needle, whether it's good or bad. Now, you look at the success that he's had, the season that he had last year, it's crazy to me that he's not up for Coach of the Year, but it kind of tells you why.
Well,
because nobody likes him.
Well, or okay,
I mean, you know, let's just call it what it is. A lot of people don't like him.
I think it could be one of two things. Maybe he's not loved. I mean,
No, he's definitely not loved.
But the other thing is, isn't Coach of the Year someone you think that is taking, you know, think of the show Chopped. You ever see Chopped, the TV show where they cook you? You ever see that show?
I haven't watched it, but I've heard about
it. All right, the idea is you get a basket of ingredients and you have to make a nice meal out of it, right? But you don't eat, like, the basket could have some weird stuff in it.
Yeah, and you gotta do it the best you can.
So that's kind of how I think of Coach of the Year. Like, you took this weird basket of ingredients and you made something really nice out of it. Sirianni didn't get a weird basket of ingredients.
He got a nice little T-bone. He got one of what they call tomahawk steaks.
Yeah, he got the best ingredients
on
the market.
Wagyu tomahawk.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and he made a nice meal out of it, but isn't that the expectations? If I give you the best ingredients, you better make a good meal, and he has. But I want the best meal. I want a championship, and that's why, as I sit here today, it's not enough yet. 14 wins. You guys can go celebrate that. I'm not. I'll celebrate when there's a championship with this guy. 215-592-9494. Can we hear from Brian McFadden, CBS Sports, his perspective on the Eagles situation as we enter the postseason?
Another outstanding season. The number two seed in the NFC. You get a home playoff game. The best rushing performance by any runner there in organization in history in Saquon Barkley. If he happens to lose round one, oh my goodness, they're gonna try to light the city on fire. I'm just saying because it doesn't make any sense why his name is always flirting in those conversations about his seat being hot. I agree with you. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But one thing we do know, it seems like every year, regardless of how good he coaches his team, regardless of how good they've been, his name is always in that conversation. So that's why I go 8, because when you look at what they've done, they could be arguably considered the most balanced team, not just in the NFC, but in the entire NFL. So just imagine what the city will do if they lose round one to the Green Bay Packers.
It is pretty wild, Hugh, that he's involved, and I don't just mean us, and like WIP and the fan base. He's involved in more will-he-lose-his-job headlines than Coach of the Year headlines.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
But I feel like a lot of that is because if you talk to guys in NFL circles, like higher-ups, some of the antics that Coach Sirianni has, they're not head coach-like. And that rubs some of the old heads wrong. It's kind of like the old regime and the way coaching goes. You know who this is equivalent to around the time when he was coaching? He just was up for a head coaching job. Rex Ryan was kind of that guy a little bit, you know. But it's kind of ironic that he's interviewing for a job that he once had before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's now acceptable in this era. Rex, when he was with the Jets,
he wasn't buttoned up enough.
He wasn't.
It's kind of come back towards.
You see what I'm saying?
The Rex personality. Rex,
his personality is more accepted now. That's kind of how I look at Coach Sirianni. Coach Sirianni is rough around the edges. Do not deny that. I remember, and this is going to be ironic coming from me, I didn't like Coach Sirianni when they interviewed him and he didn't put a suit on. Think about that. And I come to work every day with some shorts on or some pajamas, and I have the nerve to be mad at somebody because that they don't look professional at their job.
But you did wear your suit to get fired.
Yeah, I did wear my suit to get fired. But Joe, think about that. I sat there, and when I heard the story about how Nick was on vacation, and Jeffrey, and I think it was Howie dressed down to help to make him comfortable. He had on some Hawaiian shirt and whatever, and I'm like, how dare he go on a job interview and not get dressed up? Because that's the era that I came from, and that's, you know, I'm the brother that got fired with a suit on. So you know what I'm saying? So when I heard that, I held that against him. But as I started to workshop this thing, and I'm thinking, well, they're winning, and there's no direct path or right path to winning. He's figured that out. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened last year, the collapse from last year, he figured out a way to get this team on the right page and get them in the position that they're in now. That says a lot, especially when you have somebody. Think about that. Your boss is looking at you and like, I don't like the way you – I don't like – think about it like this. If Rod didn't like us, which he does, but if he didn't, and we're doing well, he's in a precarious situation because he's like, okay, they're doing well, don't really care too much for them. But they're moving weight. They're moving product. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you have to take the good with the bad. Because everybody's not gonna be like you.
Well, I understand that. And I've accepted his personality, and the team does they respond to him. I think they like him for the most part, which is great, and they really play hard for him. That's fine. But I'm judging him on how he coaches in these postseason games. That's what matters to me now. I've moved past we've watched the Eagles, just look at their track record, even since Andy left. Andy's his own special thing, right? Andy's maybe the greatest coach of all time. He's on the path to doing that. He wins another Super Bowl. He may surpass Bill Belichick. That's how great Andy is. But just look at the Eagles since Andy Reid. They win with whoever the coach is.
I mean, Howie does a hell of a job.
Man. I mean, like, it's the reality of it. They won. They had a winning record with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly stinks. I mean, he got washed out of the NFL. He went to San Francisco and was a disaster. They won with Doug. And I love Doug. Look what happened to Doug in Jacksonville. He washed out. He just got fired. He had one good season in Jacksonville. They're winning with Nick. Guess what? I've got news for you. They win with another coach. I mean, like, it's not about the coach. It's about, here's when the coach can affect things. I need him to be at his best in the playoffs. You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to walk in here Monday and say, he's coached circles around LaFleur. He was the best coach out there.
I will say this about Coach Sirianni. And I've said this in the last couple of weeks, but I've noticed it even more, even in his coaching style. Coaches turn the corner. He, even though he's still over the top, when you think back on his press conferences, I would say after week four.
It's been a little tamer.
It's been tame. You can't really, like, his coaching jobs that he's done, he's coached his ass off these last couple of weeks, man.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20
years. Like, seriously, think about it. And I think that he realizes that. He needs to. He's changed over the last couple of weeks.
Well, now let's get it done and go win a Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. On the other side, Seth Joyner will join us. His thoughts on the game, Sirianni, Jalen coming off a protocol, and how the Eagles match up with the Green Bay Packers. Seth joins us next. All your phone calls. Well, has Sirianni done enough to secure his job long term for you? 215-592-9494. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Football fans, buckle up, because for the first time ever, we got five straight days of playoff football in College of the Pros, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. With a no-sweat same-game parlay, you combine your bets from the same game for a chance at even bigger winnings. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get bonus bets back. So not only do we get to watch five straight days of playoff football, but that's also five chances to win big. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to be part of this epic run. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. It's the great playoff payoff. And it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.